This Monday morning from JMIS, Andrew Kelleher. Very good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Yellen and Draghi, Jackson Hole. What did they have to say?
Yeah, well, Mike, we spoke about this on Friday, didn't we? And we were wondering, you know, whether could we handle the excitement of Yellen and Draghi speaking at the Jackson Hole symposium? Well, as it turned out, the week in sport was probably a little bit more exciting than Yellen and Draghi. Janet Yellen gave a very robust defence of the financial regulations.
She gave a very robust defence of the financial regulations put in place since the GFC, and certainly I think that in the industry and in the market, there's a perception that some of these post-GFC measures are under pressure from the Trump administration. Mike, we're talking here about the banking regulations, the Dodd-Frank Act, which is a massive piece of regulation put in place that oversees Wall Street, derivative trading, things like the Volcker Rule, which restricts banks' trading activities. And Trump's view is that this is constraining lending, particularly small business lending and growth. So Yellen was basically defending that, though, and saying that those things are necessary. She had little to say about monetary policy. Mario Draghi, he also steered clear of any monetary policy references. I mean, the ECB meets on September the 7th. But in subsequent discussion, he did say that a significant degree of monetary policy is still warranted. He wants to see a pickup in inflation. But in a very similar vein to Yellen, he focused on free trade and he focused on post-finance, post-GFC financial regulation, saying it's a dangerous time to start to loosen regulation. So certainly from both of these central bankers, a bit of a subtle, or perhaps not so subtle, shot across the bow of those who are looking, seeking deregulation, and there's probably only one person in the firing line there.
Exactly. So now the debt ceiling, we're going to need to deal with this because the Americans yet again are facing the problem of running out of money, and then they normally have a big scrap and then it sort of goes down to the wire and then they vote to sort of resolve it. But this time, of course, Trump is threatening to close the whole place down.
Yeah, look, it's vaguely senseless, really, because we go through this all the time. So the U.S. debt ceiling, this is the legislative limit on the amount of national debt that can be issued by the U.S. Treasury, and it has just crept higher and higher over the years. I think we're now sitting just a touch under $20 trillion. But if they reach the debt ceiling, then the U.S. Treasury basically has to prioritize expenditure, and you technically get to the point where they can't, and so you have the U.S. government technically going into default. Now, they have been in a shutdown before. They actually went into a technical shutdown in 2013 when they had a problem for about 2 weeks, but we're going there again. I think this is going to become real headline material over the next couple of weeks. We're counting the weeks down until the U.S. Treasury will have a problem. I don't think they can pay any of their bills in October. If they don't raise the debt ceiling, you've got thrown into the mix this time is that Trump wants funding for his border wall. He initially said that that was non-negotiable. That position was later diluted by House Speaker Paul Ryan. Last week, Trump tried to tie the debt ceiling legislation into a completely unrelated Veteran Affairs bill. He just tried to slip it in there under the radar, but that simply didn't fly with everyone else. It does all seem a bit senseless because who basically is going to stand in the way of that? If Congress returns in full on September the 5th, they only have 12 working days then to pass a budget measure. So it will become critical.
You got some did you do the, I take it you watched the boxing, didn't you?
Well, I was on my way back from Waiheke. I was walking past Danny Doolin's and I popped in.
Of course you do.
And I popped in.
And did you watch the boxing as well?
I watched it. I mean, it was a bit of a circus, really, wasn't it?
I honestly thought it was, I succumbed and paid the money. I honestly thought it was better than I was expecting. It wasn't a shambles. It was a solid match. It wasn't a great match. It wasn't one of the great boxing encounters of all time. And the right man won, but geez, the numbers behind it. I mean, to collect $200 million for doing that is incredible.
We want to do the numbers. Mayweather Pacquiao, $410 million apparently pay-per-view. Now, we can't verify any of these numbers. $500 million US apparently pay-per-view for this fight. $100 million plus potentially for McGregor. Double that for Mayweather. So that's his retirement fund. Apparently, there was over 14,500 people in the stadium there. That will probably surpass the record. They probably get more than $72 million US dollars. Nobody had anywhere to park their planes. People were paying tens of thousands of dollars for ringside seats. Look, it was executed very well, you have to say that.
Yeah, exactly. What are the numbers?
21,813, the Dow Jones closed on Friday night. It was up 30. S&P 500, 2443. The NASDAQ, 6265, down small. FTSE 100, 740. And the Nikkei, 19,452. Shanghai Composite, 3331. ASX 200, 5743. NZX 50, we closed down 11 on Friday, 7857. This morning on the wholesale markets, one New Zealand dollar by 0.7241 US, 0.9129 Aussie, 0.6071 euro, 0.5622 pounds, 79.19 yen. Gold and US dollars trading at $1,291.20, and Brent crude $52.41.
Yep, a great day, mate. Appreciate it, and we'll see you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, JMIS. He and his team available to you at jmis.co.nz.